From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
If I say English garden, you probably conjure a mental picture of colorful mixed borders and garden rooms enclosed by hedging. But what's the essence of an American garden? That was what a new book called American Roots set out to explore, profiling 20 home gardens around the nation for design inspiration and also for how-to advice geared to gardening success. One co-author of the book is here today to talk about what they learned. So more in a moment, but first this message.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top-quality spring-blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
Garden designer Nick McCullough and his wife, Allison, are the team behind an Ohio-based landscape design firm and also behind the new book, American Roots, Lessons and Inspiration from the Designers Reimagining Our Home Gardens. Nick's here today to talk about some takeaways he gleaned from the process of making the book. Hi, Nick, and thanks for making time for us today.
Hi, well, thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here.
Yeah, congratulations. And the book is just coming out. And I should say we'll have a giveaway of a copy with the transcript of this show over on awaytogarden.com. And I smiled when I read your introduction to the book, where you confess that you started the project of trying to define the American garden and what you had in your head at the time, like stereotypes. And
sure.
I quote you, you say, cookie cutter suburban landscapes, perfectly mown lawns, annual lined walkways and white picket fences. But
exactly.
Is that what you found?
Oh, certainly not. And you know, it's so funny. That's what many people think it is, but it's so not that. We are so diverse. We're so creative as a gardening community in America. And there's so many regions of the country. It's so vast. So it's really hard to put it into a box. And so that was our mission. We set out to really explore and help define.
And again, these are home landscapes. These are not the 20 that are in the book. They're not the gardens that we may have heard of around the country that are famous. That wasn't what you were doing.
Mm-hmm,
that
exactly.
This was, yeah, this is home landscapes. And some of the people are designers themselves and some are home gardeners. Yes.
Yeah. I would say they're all creative, right? I mean, anybody who likes to dig in the dirt, get creative and dream of the flow of a garden are certainly creative. And many of them came from very creative backgrounds professionally, but these are their spaces. And in general, these gardens were created by them individually. And so they didn't have a big firm come in and do it. The personification, the garden is the personification of them, so to speak.
Right. And so besides all the gorgeous gardens, so there's 20, as I said, and that are portrayed in the book and lots of pictures. I think maybe you took pictures, did you?
Yeah, I photographed nearly all the gardens except for four, and logistically it just wasn't feasible.
Right.
And then we have some fantastic friends who are amazing gardeners, and then specifically Caitlin Atkinson in California. She's a brilliant photographer herself as well, and so she photographed her own garden.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I loved is that besides all the beautiful pictures, excuse me, is that at the end of each section about each garden, you sort of did this thing called learn from, and then the name of the gardener and tips that they had. And I wanted to talk about some of those, because to me, that was what makes this a very distinctive book. It's not just the gorgeous visual inspiration.
Yeah, it was very important for us to have takeaways of how you can implement this into your own home landscape or professional ideas or what have you. There's so many times you read, a magazine article somewhere and you're like, well, I really want to know what that specifically is, right? That's the nitty gritty that us gardeners really love. We love to share knowledge. We love to, talk specific cultivars or talk paving material. And so we wanted to make sure we armed all the readers with all the information we could to really take away these lessons that are so beautifully portrayed through all these 20 gardens across the country.
So I don't know if you want to tell me some that really stuck out, like lessons you learned or that resonated with you, or whether you want me to tell you some of the ones I took lots of notes. So where
well, I mean, both is great with me. I'm sure if you start going, I'll chime in with something that I remembered as we were going.
Well, some of them were were not, some of them were like almost philosophical and deep, big things, and some were simple, like in Wisconsin, Aaron Shannon, is that right?
Yeah.
Says nasturtiums are problem solver plants. Do you remember that?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. They're those fillers that you are just beautiful fillers, right? I mean, and that's the thing that you look at someone like Erin, who is, you know, so so good at starting seeds and filling in with annual displays or biperennials. And then you look at someone like Peter and Steven in New York, who are creating the framework of gardens with big hedges and things like that. And so, you know, that's the beauty of this book and this, that everyone's personal style. You know, I always say there's no rules in gardening, but there are some guidelines you should follow, certainly, right? And but each one of these, each one of these gardeners really marched to the beat of their own drum. And what they did, what they do and have done and still do is so beautiful in how they weave their tapestry of a garden together.
Right. So Aaron's nasturtiums, you know, it's a packet of seeds. It's no big deal, but it is a big deal, right? It can really make a difference. Like
it makes a huge deal. Yeah, these seeds that could just fit in the smallest palm of your hand, you know, make such a big difference that this time of year. But it takes so much foresight and planning, and it's not. She certainly didn't go out and buy them off a box store shelf. She planned out her garden, her journey. And yeah, and I think that's the amazing thing that we learn. You know, a lot of things that we learned too was how ecologically driven many of these gardens are. It's not just for the betterment of the people, it's the betterment of the space, the greater landscape, so to speak. And whether that's, you know, water-wise gardening in California or creating wildlife habitat in New York, it still, you know, it resonated so true across the entire breadth of gardens that we featured.
Yeah. In Ohio, a gardener named Paige Price talks about vignettes. Can you talk a little bit about creating vignettes?
Yeah, and Paige is a good friend of ours. And, you know, vignettes are so, she just creates these little rooms, these little experiences that get surprised by as you walk around the corner. And, you know, I think it's so important that my own personal design style is that you can't see all the garden in one view. From when you're standing, you're adding mystery. And Paige does this beautiful job of organizing planters or antique vintage finds within the garden. And then also changing them up seasonally, year to year, to really keep the garden interesting and to really feed her creative soul as well.
Yeah, I'm there was someone else, and I'm trying to remember who it was. Looking at my notes, and I'm not any, but talked about like not having, yes, creating spaces, but not having too many points of interest within any one space. Like not, do you know what I mean? Not making.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't remember. Actually, it was Scott Eckley, I think.
Yep, Scott. Yeah,
in
Seattle, and Scott, you know, is really, he's a fantastic friend of mine, and Scott was really kind of the beginning of this whole book idea. We had a fantastic evening in his garden after a long conference kind of tour in Seattle. And it all ended with a group of friends of us having an evening in the garden and just sitting in his space, talking about his design theory and and how his family uses it was really like, oh my gosh, this is what we need to share. Because it's the personal space of these designers that really either get a lot of attention or get very little attention, depending on how busy the person is. But it's also our reprieve and it's our retreat that feeds our soul. And that evening in Scott's garden, we had, you know, wood-fired pizzas and, you know, gin and tonics and things like that. That was really kind of we knew we had to tell these stories of these gardeners.
Yeah. But it is, it's so important not to be too busy. Like you want focal points, but not to be too busy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There were lots of examples, like we were talking about Paige in Ohio with her vignettes. There were lots of examples about like I think in Indiana, Jonathan Wright talked about clustering collections of containers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I know as a beginning gardener, I didn't understand the potential impact.
Yeah.
You know, huge. I pot up some pots here and there and everywhere, but I didn't understand about like this sort of staging of them. So maybe mm-hmm. talk a little bit about that and how yeah, that works.
And Jonathan in particular, who's a, you know, amazing plantsman and has such a breadth of knowledge. His he really uses these clusters of containers to, you know, display his tropical. You know, a lot of time thinking he has these just beautiful bananas, colocasias and alocasias that he moves throughout the garden and on his front porch in particular. And so these are things that, you know, are not hardy, but easily transportable because they're in these containers. And so he really sets the mood through his mix of textures, his mix of colors, also allows him to change it up from, you know, season to season or year to year. And so those use of containers, you know, for a beginning gardener, is great. If you only have a small balcony, you could have, you know, a little vignette of three containers with, you know, either something that is really complementary to each other or very contrasting to each other. And, you know, in Jonathan's case, these mixed of textures and foliage and exotic, you know, tubers that he has found over his lifetime of collecting are just, they add such a unique feeling to his garden. And, you know, that also, it goes throughout the entire garden, but specifically around places that, you know, the front entrance and then their back patio, where they really are surrounded by these beautiful textures.
Right. And that's, I think that as we grow into gardening, learning to garden, feeling more confident and also understand our space better, we can, you know, we collect interesting containers and mm-hmm. things to go in them and understand where to stage these vignettes to draw yeah. the person through the garden to the next stop or, you mm-hmm. know, to pull the eye to a spot or, yeah. you know, that's,
and, yeah. And for a young gardener, it's, you know, it's a cheap way to make a mistake, you know, as opposed to investing an entire
as opposed to where you and I are at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
With expensive ways to make
expensive mistakes. yeah. And so, you know, and that's certainly one of those ideas to glean, you know, it's just container gardening is one of my favorite aspects of gardening because it's so temporary. And you think about the longevity of it. And, but again, it's a great way to start. It's a great way to get dirty. You know, when you're a young gardener, you really have to pay attention to the watering. It's a great way to get your feet wet for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That same person, excuse me, in Indiana, Jonathan Wright, he also, mentions about shopping with a spot in mind. Do you remember mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's important. you know,
I think it was a Penny Hobhouse from the English Gardener Penny Hobhouse. He took yes. this. So tell us. Yeah. Tell us about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the idea of thinking with a spot in mind is, you know, you can walk into a nursery and like certainly be overwhelmed and maybe over-inspired, you know, and you could be walking out with boatloads of plants that you don't know where they're going to go. And so, you know, Jonathan, you know, does this great job of prescription planting or, you know, knowing where you're going to, where you need to put something. And he does a beautiful job. And, you know, hopefully it comes through in the book. You know, you photograph and you write these things and you're like, gosh, I just wish I could have got one more image in there of this angle of the garden.
Yeah.
So inspired.
I think it's really true though, that if we just flip through the catalogs, whether online or in real, you know, on paper and, or go to a garden center and you're just staggered by that assortment, we can end up bringing home the stuff that doesn't have a purpose, really.
Exactly.
And higgledy piggledy, you know, hodgepodge lodge is a result, as opposed to really saying, okay, for my grouping of containers by the front door, I'm going to be inspired by thus and such, and my color palette's going to be this. You know what I mean? It's really yeah. like a, and it's hard because we all want to be impulse shoppers.
Well, it's very easy to be an impulse shopper, right? Yeah. I mean, that's literally what these marketing companies do is to try to figure out our trigger point. And a lot of times it works too, even on me. But yeah, I think is going into it with a theme is always good. And
yeah.
Jonathan's themes are always very fun.
Yeah. I think it was on maybe on your company website. I'm not sure. I saw, or maybe it was on Instagram, your Instagram or something like that. I saw a video of for your design business. You also have greenhouse or greenhouses. You propagate plants.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You grow. So in other words, you all for your clients don't, you know, in April or May go out shopping and hope to find stuff that's going to hang together, right? Plan it from months, year, or the year prior, and propagate it so that these groupings will hang together.
Yeah, I mean, we've already actually made our palette for next year, and so we're a design, build, maintain gardening company that we maintain residential projects, and so a big part of our business is planting container gardens. And so with that, the aspect that gives us so much flexibility is having our own greenhouse and grower, in which we get to create our own palette every year, and travel and meeting these gardeners is the best way that we get inspired to do so. So we always come back from these trips with like new color palettes or a new plant we want to try. And so we're very fortunate, and we realize that to be able to do that, implement it. Our head grower, Brent, really, he's very good at appeasing us. Sometimes the ideas are fantastic. Sometimes we have like 500 too many Nicotiana that we got too inspired on by at a trip, right?
Yes.
And so that, you know, it's fun. And that's a big creative outlet for us that we really love to do, and creating these vignettes. I've been inspired through my travels through Europe, but more specifically my travels to the US really have inspired me to push the envelope. This year at my house was big monochromatic, black on black planting, dark foliage. And you know what? It's my garden. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I did. And I think it turned out pretty cool. So that's the fun in gardening. It's your own domain.
Speaking of rules or guidelines or inspirations or whatever, I mean, I think that's the best one. It's my garden and I'll do what I want to. Because there's so many books, like if you look in some, even in English gardening books, some of the older ones, you know, it'll say, and yellow and pink don't go together, it's been proclaimed. But that's ridiculous. If you like yellow and pink,
Try it. And you could try it on small scale, like we're talking about containers, and try them there. And you can go to a bigger scale of, you know, mixing in a big perennial border. So, and that's the fun in gardening is, really, as long as you can play within your environmental boundaries, you know, let it be, let it have fun.
You mentioned earlier Peter and Stephen, you said in New York, and that's Peter Bavacqua and Stephen King, and actually near me in the Hudson Valley of New York, and their garden. And the sort of tip in that learn from Peter and Stephen section in their part of your book was one tip was think vertical. It was like about, you know, vines and even buildings, like how they really fit in, and utilizing them as part of the framework and excitement of the garden. So maybe just some comments about that.
Yeah, they do such a great job of taking the height and really playing with that. In particular, I'm thinking of this really gorgeous slender silhouette sweet gum that is really right beside their garage and beside their kind of hedged garden. And it just, you know, rockets into the sky and sets this tone of a beautiful green pillar throughout a lot of the season. And it's just stunning. And then of course here, the next couple of weeks, it'll be turning this, you know, bright orange red as we go into fall. But also the vines that they use, they mix a lot of climbing roses and clematis within the borders that really kind of guide you through and pull you down a path. And they just do a fantastic job of that with creating these backdrops of beautiful hedges. It's really, so inspiring to see something like that. And a relatively, they do have a very large garden, but these garden rooms that they created are really fun to explore and were a lot of fun to photograph.
Yeah, other friends, but in Rhode Island, John Gwynn and Michael Focarelli, who I actually did a New York Times column on not long ago, and they have a crazy wild garden that, I mean, I remember visiting it in the beginning, even, and how much it's changed. But they talk about scale. So vertical is one thing that Peter and Stephen talk about, scale, because, using really big leaves, that's super important for creating drama, because they love drama.
They love drama, and man, they embrace it so well.
Yeah.
And, one I'm thinking of is Pedicides japonicus, Gigantea. It's just this massive, beautiful plant that they allow to run in this area. And you're talking leaves that are, 3-4 feet across in some cases, and it just creates this dramatic backdrop. And and then they have just from their color patterns, their monochromatic plantings of their chartreuse, yellow garden, to now their beautiful kind of naturalistic meadow style planting of just the most beautiful combinations of seeded annuals to long-lived perennials is really very inspiring. But the scale of what they do, whether in each room, is just very so dramatic.
Yeah. And there's one person profiled in the book. I think it's John Karloftis. Is he in Kentucky?
He's in Kentucky. Yeah.
And he reminds us something that's important, because a lot of us who garden, and don't sit down so much in our own gardens, because we're always working, we forget to leave or make spaces that are suitable for entertaining and for being quiet and for being with other people and so forth. Do you know what I mean? It's not all about the plants and the beds and the borders and the hedges and
Well, and John is just the quintessential entertainer when it comes to using his garden that way. I've learned so much from him over the years, and he's a good friend of ours. And so we've had many of, quote unquote, drunken walks around the garden.
Mentioned gin and tonics and drunken and walks. So I don't know.
In the land of bourbon there where he lives.
Kentucky. Oh boy.
Kentucky. Yeah. And so, and that's it. He has all these beautiful spaces to sit. Not only vignettes to look at, but vignettes to sit in.
And
he has so many entertaining spots around the garden, and he uses it so well during the day and also at night through his beautiful landscape lighting around his garden. Is really, it sets the tone for wanting to be in it. And John is an amazing entertainer, an amazing host, and he uses his garden, portrays that as well. And that's why, as I said, his garden is personification of him or his garden, or vice versa. And it is so true. When I look at that garden, I see John.
And it's an invitation. Come be with him in the garden. Right.
And believe me, many people try to just show up and come to talk to John for sure.
So in the last one or two, whatever minutes, I just want to end with sort of this couple in Portland, Brant and Chelsea, and I can't remember their last name. I'm sorry. They have a great tip, and you kind of spoke to it a little bit at the beginning. They say travel. Don't forget to travel. Like, we can't just stay home in our own gardens and figure it all out. We have to go see other outdoor spaces. So just kind of, I guess this book probably did that for you, and probably inspired a lot of new riffs in your own work and so forth, right?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. And then we've always lived by that mantra. The best way to get inspired is to travel. And whether it's taking a car ride to, 2 hours away to go to a botanic garden, or go visit a friend, or an art museum, it could be little or it can be as grand as going on the European Grand Tour, right?
Right.
So,
right.
And which seems like everyone's doing right now as I watch Instagram, everyone's in Europe. But yeah. So, yeah, I mean, gosh, it just a change of scenery, a change of mindset and getting out of your comfort zone really can inspire and just, you know, it can be so little, but it can be so grand as well. So, just finding that new restaurant, the next bookstore, to exploring, you know, some of these beautiful little garden centers that we have around the country. You know, that's what we do. We find spaces. We'll make sure we do some good research before we go to a town, and just enough, because you need to allow time to let the wind take you wherever you want, wherever it takes you, right?
And
that's how we've met a lot of our friends that are in this book, and was through that and not being afraid to reach out. Or the way I met John Karloftis specifically was like, hey, I messaged him on Instagram. I'm coming to Lexington, never been before. What should I do when I'm there? He's like, well, come to my place. And so we ended up spending a whole evening together. And it was just one of the most memorable experiences we ever had. And we've been fast friends ever since then.
Well, so it shows in the book that you have an enthusiasm for all these places and that you've taken inspiration from them. So the book is American Roots Lessons and Inspiration from the Designers Reimagining Our Home Gardens. We're going to have a book giveaway with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com. And I'm so glad you could make time today, Nick, to talk about it. Congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope I'll talk to you again soon.
I hope so too.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top quality spring blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.